morning.
Good morning.
I'm just getting over a little cold. Actually, it's not a little cold, but I'm just getting over a cold, so I'm kind of a little bit nasal. But I'm okay. Just a few more days to Thanksgiving, right?
Mm-hmm.
You ready for Thanksgiving?
Yes.
What does Thanksgiving mean to you?
Turkey.
Turkey, yeah. To me, it means 4 days off, right? I mean, you know, we all looking forward to it, really. You know, it's a lot of, you know, since September, I can understand students, right? You've gone through a hard time, right, since early September. A lot of work, and now the first marking period is just over, and you can take a breather, but you know work is coming, more work is coming, right? So it's a good 40 days vacation. But, you know, it's a good time because we think about all the good things. Thanksgiving. That's work. You know, I can think of quite a number of things, right? My daughter got a job. She's happily working in Baltimore. And she's crazy about skiing. So yesterday, she flew out to Denver to do some skiing. She's worked like 4 months without any days off. So Auntie Lucy is going to fly up to Denver to meet with her today and watch. Just stay with her. She'll go on the slope. Auntie Lucy will be reading a book in the lodge and have a good time. Then Wednesday, John and I will go out to California to see Auntie Lucy's mom and dad. Okay, her dad is not doing quite well, getting a little bit old, a little bit frail. So actually, Stephanie, my daughter, says, well, why don't we go see Grandpa for Thanksgiving? So I'm happy about that. So I'm thankful for that. And for John, hey, senior year, go to college. For him, it's freedom. For me, it's freedom. All right, so is Thanksgiving only about giving thanks? Thanksgiving, right? We've got to think about what we're thankful for. So, you know, so is Thanksgiving only about doing things?
No.
I read this story. All right, this is a true story because this is from the New York Times. A man went hunting with his dog and his group of friends. Have you heard that story? No. Uncle Jonathan, have you heard this story?
Not about the vice president?
No, this is a man. This is October 30th. This is a month, less than a month ago, not like 4 years ago, whatever. Okay? So a man went hunting. This is the first day of the pheasant, you know, bird, pheasant, right? Hunting season. So he went hunting. This is in Iowa. Okay, what do you think happened? What? He shot a bird. Excellent. He shot a bird. What else? What else happened? Maybe he shot two birds, three birds. You know, he thought he was going to do that, right? What?
Huh?
The bird shot him. Well, come on.
The bird killed him?
That's impossible. The bird, no. Nobody died. Okay, I'll read you the story. A hunter is recovering. Oh, you might be right. A hunter is recovering after he was shot in the leg at close range. Maybe his friend shot him. Group people, right? He was shot in the leg at close range by dog. The dog shot him. Alright, the dog shot the man. Alright? The dog, because he shot a bird, so he put on his gun. And he was running to get the bird. But the dog was also running to get the bird. So the dog stepped on the trigger. Boom! Hit him in the leg. This guy's only 37 years old. He was hit in the calf. Calf is here, right? There is a 4-inch circle.
Oh.
All right? In his leg. That has 100 to 120 pellets. Now, these shots, right, they're not like bullets. These are like, because like these guys, they're not experts, they don't have a good shot, so they have the advantage. So the bullet comes out, it's like little metal pellets, So coming out to kill the bird, you don't hit the bird directly. You just aim at an area, and the poor bird is like hit by all these metal pellets. So this guy was shot. He had a 4-inch area that has 100 to 120 pellets. So you know what? The doctor's gonna pick out one at a time.
Ew.
Now, okay, since you said ew. So if you were the man, hypothetically, Thanksgiving time, would you give thanks?
No. Maybe.
Thanks for the doctor.
I would
keep
my dog.
Yes. Why, what would you give thanks about?
That's
not killed. That's not killed. Wow, the cup is half full, right? So, in the Bible, right? In the Bible, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. So, you know, thanksgiving is not like just giving thanks for good things, right? In all circumstances, give thanks. So if you were the man, if one day you were shot by your dog or your cat, give thanks. Okay, let's say another situation, right? You know there's a sleepover at someone's home, best friend's home. And you know you're invited. So you said to yourself, man, I better be good this week. You know, I'm going to ask my parents if I can go sleep over. So, study, come home early, study. You try to not, so, you know, I don't think you guys watch TV anymore. I think you play video games more than watch TV. Okay, I'm going to like do all my work and then play a little bit of my video games. Keep my room clean, all my dirty clothes, I keep it off the floor, I put it in the laundry basket so that my mom or my dad doesn't say, come on, put it in the laundry basket. Sounds familiar? No? No? Huh? You guys always put your clothes off the floor? So? Sounds familiar. So you don't do that, right? You're trying to be good. Thursday comes, I said, Mom, you know, can I go for a sleepover? Oh, no, I'm sorry, you can't, because we got to go visit your uncle. I know, Chinese family. You got to take it. You got to go see your uncle or something. You hate to be, you know, family commitments. You'd rather be on your own. You don't want to be on weekends. You want to be your friends. You don't want to be with your parents, right? Going to see your relative, that's the last thing. No, you disagree with me? Yeah? Okay. I can be wrong. But anyway, so you come. Then your parents said to you, boy, you're really good this week. I'm so impressed. You know, you're so good this week. Now, how do you feel? How do you feel? And I think all these days I helped out, and this is what I would like to do, to go sleep over, you know, I can't go. Right? The point is, all right, we have all these blessings from God, all right? And God has given all these blessings, and at Thanksgiving time, we give thanks to God. Well, what cost is one? You think God is happy? That he has given us all these blessings, and now we're giving him thanks. You think God is happy that we are giving him thanks? Maybe, right? But in this other case that I just talked about, maybe not. God may not be happy just because we're giving him thanks. He has done all these things for you. Just like you have done all these things, hoping to be able to sleep over. God has given us all these blessings, hoping that we will behave. But we haven't. Even though we tell God, thank you for all these blessings, maybe he won't be happy. But right? So it's not just giving thanks or not giving thanks, okay? It's how we respond to all the blessings that we receive. And it's how God receives our thanksgiving. Now, we are talking about fishing today. Have you fished before? Yeah? Uncle Joe is not here. You know Uncle Joe, right?
Yeah.
I know he's a fisherman. Uncle Steven too? Oh yeah? Is he better than Uncle Joe?
Yep. Of course. The world's greatest fisherman.
Let me tell you something. I was a real good fisherman in Tennessee. Alright? You know, I used to go to California. I used to live in California, right? I would go to the pier in the Pacific Ocean. You see all these walls, people like, you know, fishing, and I would stand there for like 3 hours. I see other people catching, right? Small fish, big fish, most of them small fish, but big fish, and I'm standing there 3 hours, nothing happened. I wasn't a good fisherman. But in Tennessee, I was a good fisherman. Mm-hmm. You know why? Tennessee, there's no ocean, right? There are a lot of rivers. And the rivers, they have dams. Alright? They have dams. So that they, you know, for the flooding, perfectly. So you put it, you only use corn, nothing else, corn. Put it in, immediately, within 5 seconds, it starts pulling. Because there are a lot of fish in the river, and there's nowhere to go. There's a dam. Alright? They're probably hungry, too. You know, they're big fish. So, they get the bait. So I caught a lot of fish, you know, in Tennessee. But that was also one of my most embarrassing moments in life. You know, I see these people, right? These expert fishermen. They don't use just one rod, right? They had like three or four. They got fancy ones, you know? So they set them up. They put the bait. They cast. Come on, guys. They cast, right? And then they set it on the ground. They use rocks to put them, you know, to put them at an angle so that they go and set up another one. They go and set up another one. They set like three, four of them. Alright? So they just sit back and they relax, and when they start fighting, so they go and catch that, reel that one fish in. So I only got one rod, so set it up. Went over and talked to my friend, right? Within five minutes, it started like moving, right? Oh man, you know, the fish is huge. The fish is like this big, carp, alright? Chinese view, they left carp, they're so big. I didn't set up firm enough, the rod. It got loose. So the fish was swimming away, my rod was running, I was like on the rock, like trying to catch my fishing rod. It's gone. It was a new rod. Anyway, that morning, Simon Peter got up, and he went fishing, right? And he didn't catch anything. And he's been bummed out, you know, bummed out, because that's his profession. If he couldn't catch any fish, then he doesn't have any livelihood. Okay? So he was getting done, he was washing the net, and here comes this man, Jesus. Went on his boat, told him to move a little bit away. Now Peter, he's like very stubborn, strong personality. I mean, I'm surprised that he listened to Jesus and said, all right, you move the boat a little bit away from the shore, and Jesus spoke. After Jesus was done, Jesus says, okay. Jesus says, put out to the deep water. Let down the net for a catch. Now, the biblical scholars, they always say, wow, you know, Peter has great faith. He listened to Christ, right? He listened, he followed Christ, he pulled the boat out to deep water, and he cast the net again. Now, the net, it's very, you know, it's very, a lot of work to fix the net, to put away the net. Now he had to cast again, that means he's got to wash again. He knew he didn't have any fish, so the scholars always said, wow, he called his master, you know, which means the perfect teacher, right? So he really had faith in Christ. But then I read this sentence. Verse 5. Simon answered, "We've worked hard all night, haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the net." Well, that's very familiar to me, because whenever I tell my kids to do something, they tell me, it won't work. But because you told me to do it, I'll do it. Because you say so, I will let down the net. I don't think there was much faith in there. It was placing blame. Well, if I didn't catch anything this time, Jesus, it's your fault, it's not mine, because, you know, I'm only doing what you told me to do. I bet you that's what you tell your parents. Very good. Thank you for honesty. Honesty is the best policy. Well, lo and behold, I put on the net. Wow, it's heavy. The net's going to break. Well, that's not good. I mean, you know, you break the net, not only you won't have any fish, you don't have the net. Here it didn't talk about how heavy, right? But if you, you know, we look at John 21, it says 153 large fish. Now, large fish, over 10 pounds. Jesus, over 10 pounds. 153, that means 1,530 pounds of fish. Not counting small fish. Right? And the boat was going to sink. Now, whoever is good at physics, you know that, you know, the boat, the buoyancy or whatever, the water, whatever, okay, so there's a lot of fish. A lot of fish. That's how professors talk, let me tell you. Uncle Johnny will tell you. That's how he teaches his students. Go home and read the book. The equations are in the book. You can see the progression of his emotions, right? Excitement. Then the nets were break, the boat was sink. Wow. Not good. Okay? Then he saw this. He fell at Jesus' feet. "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." That was Peter's response to the blessing. A lot of fish. A lot of fish. You know, all these fish that he caught that day, maybe good enough for a week's worth. Maybe good enough for 2 weeks' worth. He didn't have to do any work for 2 days, 2 weeks. But he saw through the blessing. It's not just the blessing. It's the source of the blessing and the reason for the blessing that he saw. Okay? That Jesus was someone who has control over the nature. He became aware of his unworthiness in front of this holy being. Okay? So he was gripped with fear. And he fell at his feet. "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." Now, if we were there, if we were the fishermen, and we didn't see through the blessing, we got all these fish, we say, "Amen, sushi. All right, let's get some sushi and have fun." You understand me? When we receive blessing from God a lot of times, we say, "Great, great, we're blessed by God. Let's have a good time." That's very natural. There's nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, God wants us to have a good time. And we should have a good time. But we need to see through, beyond the good times, what's the lesson to learn. And Peter, you know, Peter saw through this and realized that he was a sinful man. He was a sinful man. He wasn't worthy of Christ. Now, if we're, I was Peter, no, wrong grammar. If I were Peter, I'd say, hey, Jesus, hang around. Stay with me. You know, I'll have fun for 2 weeks. When I need more fish, when I run out of money, come on, Jesus, tell me where to go fish. No, he didn't do that. Right? Quite contrary, he said, depart from me, because I am a sinful man. That's very strange. Only strange because he saw through the blessing. So at Thanksgiving time, it's not just about giving thanks to God. It's about understanding why God gives us all the blessings. It's about our parents understanding us, why we behave so well that week. So he responded differently because he saw himself in the picture. He realized who he was, a sinful man. Sure, that was a blessing. They eat a lot of fish. Sure, we have a lot of blessing in our life. And we should ask for blessing. Because, you know, when I was thinking about this, I said, well, you know, where should I go? Should I say, well, you know, we should really just ask for the blessings that we think God is going to give us. What kind of blessing should we ask for? Like Peter, right? Peter didn't ask for this, all this fish. He didn't get up that morning expecting to catch all that fish. But you know what? You know what? We should ask for rich blessings from God. If you were Peter and you know Christ, you don't get up in the morning and pray, oh, God, if it's your will, let me catch enough fish. Enough fish for today. You get up and say, God, let me catch as many fish as possible. Right? Then you let me. So, in a way, when you ask God for blessing, go for the moon. Alright, now listen to me very carefully. As you grow up, okay, this is trick. This is the, like, your relationship with God. When you ask God for blessing, don't be timid. Be bold. Ask for the moon. Okay, because a father who has everything would love to give the children everything. And he wants the children to ask for them. So you need to know to ask God for blessing. So be bold when you're asking for blessing. Don't be timid. But there's a catch. Because I sound too much like televangelist just then. Alright? I know some of the the more senior, you know, brothers gonna say, well, this, you know, something went wrong with Brother Felix. But there's a catch. Be bold in asking for blessings, but what you ask for better be right. You better ask for the right thing for you. Because God forbid, if you're too greedy, you ask for things that is not going to be do you good, and God really give it to you, you ask for trouble. Yes, of course. Be bold in all what you want to ask. Because I've learned from my own experience. If God didn't help me with the impossible, I wouldn't be standing here. I wouldn't be a Christian for like 30 years. Right? I remember very clearly one of the things early on, way before you were born, when I was having trouble with my thesis at school. I had no clue as to what I was doing. I had absolutely no clue. I asked God for help. And he gave me wisdom. He gave me wisdom to sort things out. to make a very, very hard problem a simple problem. And I was able to write a thesis on a simple problem and not a hard problem. And the professor told me it was a good thesis. One of the better theses in a long time. Be bold, do what you ask. But what you ask better be right. Better be right. Don't ask for things that eventually would cause you trouble. Okay? If you look at Psalm 21, about David, King David, you know, it says, you have granted him the desire of his heart. Have not withheld the request of his lips. You welcomed him with rich blessings and placed a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked you for life, and you gave it to him. The length of things, forever and ever. You have granted him eternal blessings. Eternal blessings. Really. Be bold with your blessing. Be bold in asking for blessing. But make sure. Make sure they are right for you. You know, Peter saw through the blessing. It's not just an earthly blessing, the fish, the money that he would earn from the big catch. Blessing is just one of the ways, one of the means that God shows his loving relationship with us. It's not an end. Blessing is one of the ways and one of the means that God shows and teaches us his loving relationship with us. So Peter saw that, and he saw that he was a sinful man. So he told Jesus, please, depart from me. Jesus said to him, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. From now on, you will catch men. One response leads to the next response from Jesus. Peter's response, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Jesus' response, you will catch men. You can say, it's a command. It's a command. You will catch men. So for the blessing that you can see physically, the fish, comes a command, followed by a command. You will catch men. So a blessing doesn't stand on its own. A blessing doesn't stand on its own. A blessing invoke a reaction from you. You can just thank God for the blessing and have a good time. But also you can be like Peter. He saw through the blessing and said, Jesus, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. So depending on your response to the blessing, then Christ has a command, has a teaching, as an instruction for you and I. It's all interrelated. To Peter he said, you will catch men. How about us? What did Jesus tell us? Remember, remember the parable of the sower? That a man went out to sow, right? The seed fell on different kinds of soil. Poor soil, the side of the road, and good soil, right? A heart, a good heart. It came up, grew, and produced a crop 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. Good soil, fruitful. You hear the word into your heart, good soil. Bear fruit. Luke 13, parable of this fig tree. a man planted a fig tree in his vineyard. No fruit. He said to the person who took care of the vineyard, cut it down. For 3 years I've been coming here. I don't see any fruit for this fig tree. Why should it use up the soil? Cut it down. And the man who was running the vineyard was nice. Leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it. I'll still work on it. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If it not, cut it down. All these blessings that God gave us, is it just giving thanks back to Him? Or is it something that is expected of us? If we're a tree planted in the vineyard and we got all these blessings, fertilizers, everything, water, and we don't get fruit, what happens? What do you think God's response would be? What do you think Christ's response would be? No matter how much you say, wow, thank you for the sunshine, I'm having a good time, thank you for the water, thank you for the fertilizer, I'm really, you know, getting fat. What good is that? If you don't bear fruit. Luke 12. For everyone who has given much, much will be demanded. Okay, I told you, right? Be bold when you ask for blessing. Yeah, be bold. But if God gave you a lot, more will be demanded. From the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Remember that. When we come to Thanksgiving time, don't just say, oh, at the fellowship meeting, at whatever Thanksgiving celebration, I'll give thanks. It's a year-round thing. It's not just giving thanks with our lips or with our heart, but we have a response. We have a response to all the blessings. And if God has really blessed us a lot, and I can tell you, I'm sure God has blessed each one of us a lot. Everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. You guys are very young. Remember that. You have a lot of years ahead of you. You have a lot of blessings ahead of you. And remember, for each and every blessing, bear fruit. You know, Peter left everything. Peter left his boat, his net, his fish. He ran out to Jesus. That's his response to Jesus' response. He left everything. But you should think of it, you know? What did he leave? He left two old boats. He left some old fishing net. That's all he left. You know, for those of us who are working, you've got bank accounts, you've got family, we got a house, we got a car. It's a lot harder to leave anything. The more you have, the harder it is to leave. So that's why our attachment should not be on the material things, but our attachment needs to be on a spiritual level, our relationship with God. You know, Peter left everything, not because he 100% understood that Jesus was the Savior, was his Redeemer. He still have a lot of thinking that Christ is going to have an earthly kingdom, and he's going to be powerful. He's going to be rich. You know, if he followed Jesus, then whenever he needs fish, he would have fish. I'm sure there's a lot of that in Peter at that time. Not just he realized that Christ is God, and Christ is his Redeemer, and Christ is his Savior, or the Messiah. But he left. He left for worldly reasons, and he left for heavenly reasons. It's a mixture of both. But if you go fast forward, 4 years later, 4 years later, John chapter 21, that morning, Peter was back for the same old thing. You know, the Lake of Gennesaret and Tiberias, the same Sea of Galilee, maybe the same thing, but it's totally different then. The first time, there were hundreds of people listening to Christ. The first time, there may be thousands of people listening to Christ. The second time around, there's nobody. Maybe some other fishermen. Working hard, trying to catch fish, make a living. The first time, Peter might have felt on top of the world. He's going to follow this person, Jesus, or this master, and be part of a powerful kingdom. But then, the second time, he felt like he lost everything because Christ was crucified. And he himself had denied Jesus 3 times. He felt like a failure. He failed. So he went back to fishing again. He went back to fishing again. But then it happened. Christ appeared to him again. On the shore, telling him to cast the net, and he caught the fish, and he realized it was Christ. And he reconciled with Christ. All the earthly goals that he had did not come true. The only goal that he had, that spiritual goal, came true for him. He had eternal life because he followed Christ. So when we look for blessing, fine. We look for blessing. Worldly blessings, material blessings. But don't forget, a big part of our life is spiritual. Spiritual blessing. So ask God boldly also for spiritual blessing. Because ultimately, it's this eternal blessing that will stay with us. It doesn't go away. So Peter was reconciled with Christ. And this time, Christ had, because of his response, Christ's response was, follow me. Very simple. Christ told Peter, follow me. So 2 times, Peter went fishing, and he met Jesus. The first time, Jesus said, you will catch men. The second time, Jesus said, follow me. So God gave us all a lot of blessings. You can count the blessings. But what do you think Christ is telling us through the blessings that he has given? To Peter, he said, you will catch men. And later on, follow me. What do you think that Christ is telling us through all these blessings? So in Thanksgiving time, don't just think about giving thanks. See through the blessings. See who we are and what we need to do for Christ.